Verse 32. I love it, what we looked at this morning, 29 through 31. I mean, so he had just been to the synagogue, and in verse 29, and as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So we get the idea immediately, right? Doesn't say immediately, but it's the same thing. As soon as they came out of the one place, they immediately went to this next place. And now we see that he heals the mother-in-law, and she jumps up to her feet, and we see the idea that she serves them. And so we get the idea. That's immediately as well. And then verse 32, at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Imagine this scene. I mean, try to wrap your mind around what this must have been like. Isn't this incredible? Like, we're going just, I mean, like from one moment to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment. I mean, by the end of the evening, the whole city was gathering at the door of this house, bringing, they heard, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the one who can set people free from demon possession. How many of these drug problems and things of that nature that we just prayed for, do you think are demonically inspired? Every last one of them. You know, that word for pharmacy or pharmaceutical is the same basic Greek word that it talks about in the Bible as is translated as sorcery. These two things are like this. I mean, whenever you see a drug problem, you see a demon problem. You know, and even people that have been maybe caught up in it, in an addict, you know, an addict to addicted to drugs, they'll say, my demons. I mean, so like there's just this understanding that it really is a demonic thing. I don't say that so we can look down on a person. I say this so that we can properly pray for the person. Pray for them to be set free. Do you believe Jesus still commands the demons today? You absolutely better believe it, because he does. He can still set people free. And only he can really set us free, right? They're too strong for us. Don't ever think that somehow or another we have the ability. Because in our flesh is very weak. We don't have that kind of strength. But God does. Jesus still is the chain breaker, isn't he? And so they heard. The city heard and the city believed. They started bringing their sick people. They started bringing their demon-possessed people. Good thing about this city is they just would have had to admit it whenever somebody was demon-possessed. They didn't try to sugarcoat it or hide it or make it into something that it isn't, you know. I went to a country where it was just very simple that way. I mean, whenever somebody was demon-possessed or demon-oppressed, they'd come to you and they'd say, you know, I want you to pray that I be set free from these demons that are oppressing me. You know? And at first it kind of shocked me because I wasn't used to that kind of openness about it, you know? In our country we say, you know, medicate us. Do something to medicate me. You know? And so it's really hard for us to discern. How do we really pray? You know? I can tell you, it's okay to pray they'll be set free from the demons that are binding them. I really think, and sometimes I think people might even kind of realize that's what's happening. They're almost embarrassed or afraid to say something because of the way our culture works here, you know. I was really struck whenever I went to Mexico as well, and we were out there together, you know, and the pastor would bring somebody over to meet them, to introduce them to me, and they'd say, here's so-and-so. They've really been struggling with drug addiction. And they cheated on their wife, and they really want you to pray for them, that God could restore that. And I was shocked by the honesty. You know, in our country, we're like, well, don't tell nobody, you know. Don't tell nobody. You know, so-and-so's having this problem, but boy, they don't want anybody to know. And I mean, this guy just humbly was standing there beside the pastor. Now, I'm not telling everybody to tell everybody else's secrets. But maybe we ought to be humble enough when we have a problem that we'll just be honest about it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I saw in this situation whenever the pastor was telling me the guy who had committed these things, and had had these problems, he was okay with it because he wanted to be healed. So he was just like, yeah, it was out in the open. Heal me. You know? It's okay to be open about our problems because, you see, whenever we're open about them, don't you think it looked kind of funny whenever they started lining up with all these people outside the house? You're kind of identifying yourself as somebody that needs help or your loved one, right? You're doing it openly. You're doing it publicly. You're doing it right there in front of the view of the entire city. And so we see that begin to happen. They brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick in various diseases, with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Isn't that an interesting verse? It's a very interesting verse. So we're going to read on, but I want you to think about that just a little bit more. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Oh man, my spirit just groaned. That sounds early. All right, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Who's the he? Jesus. Okay, let's get this straight. Who is Jesus? Yeah, he's God the Son, part of the Trinity, right? Okay. So he knew the mind of God because he is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't it astounding to us that it was important enough for him to pray that he would get up that early in the morning to gain his Father's heart before he started out the day? Now we know he was kept up into the night because it was sunset and they started showing up. So he had a late night, we might say. Healing, commanding demons, stressful stuff, you know. He gets a little bit of sleep, and as soon as he wakes up, even before daylight, he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." You ever get up in the morning and say, "I don't have time to pray? Because everybody's looking for me. I got to get going. I got to get started. I got to get my day started." If you're, you know, a mom of small children, it really is true. As soon as your feet hit the floor, as soon as those kids wake up, they're going to be looking for you, right? They're going to be demanding something of you. But Jesus thought that it was important enough to get up earlier than when they were going to start looking for him. So I'm not saying everybody has to get up before daylight. But I would say we should get up in time enough before we have to leave that we can spend some time with God. Because we see Jesus did it. We see that Jesus did it. Okay, so let's think back just a little bit here. All right. So he went to the synagogue on a Sabbath in Capernaum, verse 21. We see he set somebody free from a demon there. He taught as one having authority. And then he sets this guy free from this demon. And then he goes directly to his house. We got a sick lady. He heals her. Okay? The word's getting out. Word's getting out. Now what's happening? They're crowding in on him so hard. Okay? Now he casts out these other demons. Because word got out, and I mean, they're all piling up around the house, wanting to be healed, wanting to be set free. Makes sense. If I knew he was in town, right? He's better than in town for us, though. You know, we don't even have to have cell service to be able to get a hold of Jesus. Isn't that nice? Because, you know, every one of my phone calls around here gets interrupted when my phone, you know, gives out. But I always think, well, praise God, I can still talk to Jesus. You ever try to pray with somebody over cell phone? Yeah? You say, "Would you like to pray?" Yeah. I swear, every time I start praying with somebody, something happens to the cell phone signal. I can have four bars and it goes out. You know what? Just because that other person ain't on there with me anymore, I don't stop praying. Because I wasn't really talking to them anyways. I was talking to God, and I didn't lose him just because the cell phone signal went down, right? And so I'll finish praying, and then I'll try to get a hold of them, and I'll say, well, you know, sorry we got cut off, but I went ahead and finished praying. I might even recap it and tell them what I prayed about just so they can agree, but, like, Jesus heard. All right? So like, we've got all this going on, and they're crowding around in on him, and he's telling the demons, don't speak, because they knew who he was. Well, they knew who he was, and they believed in him, but did it save them? It didn't, did it? It's interesting. A lot of people think just because we believe that Jesus is somebody and that we kind of know it, that that's enough. But that ain't really enough. And you know, I don't think that he really just wants a shallow confession of who he is either. I think he wants a right representation of who he is. And it wasn't really time yet for the crowds for him to be totally revealed to the crowds yet. And I'll say why is because this whole reason, he was having to hide before daylight to even get a moment to try to have prayer time because everybody was crowding around him so much. And so he continues on, and so they find him, and they said to him, everyone's looking for you. Why? Because word was getting out. Verse 38, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come. Okay, so how long was his ministry? Can anybody tell me how long his ministry was? 3 years. Right around three years. 3 to 3.5 years. So like he had a ministry that was public during that 3 year period, and there were portions of that ministry that were devoted to different aspects of how he was revealing who he was. He starts out by revealing the kingdom of God had come. It was time to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. This is his time of revealing that. He revealed it through the wonders that he performed as well. But it wasn't time for him to completely reveal everything about who he was until a little bit later on. Now, some people mistakenly take that verse that he told the demons not to speak to say that somehow or another we should keep it secret too. We can't be secret believers. God calls us to speak and to be a witness. It's time for that. Remember, there's no delay in the timing of God. Yes, sir, Bill. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, well, it talks about that in James. It says, even the demons believe and tremble. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So they're full aware of who he was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and in other gospel stories and accounts, we see where Jesus encountered other demon-possessed people, and they would actually cry out to him, Son of the Most High God, and things of that nature, but it wasn't under their salvation. And so I really want that to soak in with the masses of people, because I run into a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I believe all that stuff. But that ain't really what God's looking for. He's looking for us to believe with our heart, right? And so we need to pray for them that they can come to that point. But I also want us to see that there's a right, you know, there's a right time. And there was a right time for him to be revealed in this way, and it wasn't that time yet. He even told people who were healed sometimes not to go and not tell anybody. He's getting ready to do that. That was only for a time period. It was only for this time. And he's all about, you know, the timing of things, and his timing is always perfect. So like, how did he know that it was time for them to go to the next town? He had been praying, hadn't he? He'd been spending time with his Father, and his Father was directing his ministry by the aid of the Holy Spirit, no doubt. But even he needed to take the time to get quiet so he could hear from his Father. And he needed it so bad he was willing to give up that precious sleep. And we know he did get tired because of the time he was in the storm-tossed sea with the disciples and he was in the back of the boat. Guess what he was doing? He was asleep. Absolutely. The poor guy was hounded upon every waking moment, you know. I can't imagine what it must have been like for him in the flesh, because he had flesh. His flesh got hungry. His flesh got tired. He felt pain. All that stuff, just like you and I do. Do you ever get tired? Yeah, I do. And I can tell you, after about 10 or 10:30 at night, it wouldn't matter who was outside my door knocking. I'd probably fall asleep at least for a little while, you know. It's really hard whenever you do get that tired. And yet, he was willing to give up some of that precious sleep to find a solitary place and pray. And through that, he was getting his direction. And so even though the disciples came back and said, hey, everybody's looking for you. You need to go back there. I mean, like, we've been looking all morning for you. What are you doing? You know, it's kind of the impression that we get. And he's like, pack it up, boys, because we're going to the next town. Well, what about all those, you know, what about them? I'm sure that had to be what they were thinking. But you see, he knew what his Father wanted him to do. And it didn't matter what anybody else said. There was lots of expectations from a lot of different people. But he was only concerned about the expectation of one. And that was his Father. We need to get that kind of clear direction so we're not tossed around by what everybody else says. It's really important for us to take the time to do that. It's going to take time, too. It's going to take sacrifice. Verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him. What's a leper? Not a leopard. A leper. Huh? Somebody with leprosy. What about this with leprosy stuff? What's it like? It can be very contagious, right? And as we spoke this morning, there were some illnesses, and they understood that there were some illnesses that were very contagious, And this one in particular, that there would be a quarantine for that individual, and there would even be a place where they were to live because they were unclean. They weren't to be touched, okay? They weren't to be touched, and they weren't to touch anyone else. If for any reason they had to come into public, they were actually supposed to tell everybody they were a leper so that everybody could avoid them, okay? And so they were supposed to walk along saying that. It was basically the identity of who they were at that point. And so this leper came to him as he's going about all Galilee, and he's casting out these demons. You notice it just keeps bringing that up, casting out demons. We get to, you know, I know we almost have demon phobia in our society because we're afraid we'll get too carried away with that. But let's just face it, folks, they're real. They were real then, they're real now. And so we don't want to look for a demon behind every tree, but at the same time, we don't want to ignore the fact that they do exist. There is spiritual battle that has to be waged. And they have no power over Jesus, praise God, so we know the solution. But, you know, we need to pray for others who maybe don't know it yet. We need to pray for others. And if we feel like we're being oppressed, it's okay to ask for prayer from others, too, you know. And don't make you weird just because you feel like you're being oppressed. We can ask. Ask others to pray for us. But this leper came to him, and he's imploring him. What does that mean? He's begging him. And kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So what was the expression of kneeling down to him? What was he saying by that? Yeah, He was showing reverence, wasn't he? He was showing reverence. He was getting down before Jesus, and he was professing through his action that Jesus was an authority that he was coming to and asking for help from, that he was believing he was the one who could help him. He was showing the proper respect. We have such a disrespect for authority nowadays. And it isn't anything new, because like we see it in biblical times as well. But, you know, I think it's gotten kind of especially bad in our society. We see very little respect from children to their parents anymore. We see very little respect, you know, in the schools with children to teachers and things of that nature. We've cultivated this. And it's really coming back to bite us, because those are the people that are out in the streets showing no respect for authority there as well. And if there would be a proper respect for authority, then we could allow the law to to cure some of these problems in a reverent way, you know. But instead, we're trying to take the law into our own hands all the time and trying to do what we want, trying to force what we think. And so we have this man, this leper, who comes to him, and he kneels down before him. And as we're saying, it's like saying, you know, it's like showing the respect and reverence for him as being his Lord, the one who can help him. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion. You know, Jesus loves us. When we go to him and we have a problem, he doesn't just go, oh, it's you again. You know, and we kind of get that impression sometimes, but it's a wrong impression. That's not what Jesus is thinking. If we have a real problem, or if another person does, and we really take them, and they are really to, you know, needing help, I think Jesus has compassion, right? And so he had compassion on him, and he stretched out his hand, and he touched him. Not allowed. Didn't he understand that the law said that wasn't supposed to happen? Didn't he understand that, like, this dude had germs? He was contagious. Didn't he understand this? How dare this Jesus do this on two accounts? I mean, this was just a bad idea. And he said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. Isn't that a beautiful expression? He touched the leper. There's nothing we're going to bring to Jesus that's so bad that he's going to say, I can't help you. He does, and we do. Through Christ, we have that power. Isn't it awesome to know that the power of Christ dwells in us? Even the power that raised him from the dead. It talks about that in Romans 8. The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he does. He's called the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? What an amazing thing. But look at, he moved with compassion. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded at the testimony to them, as a testimony to them. So he was well aware of the law, by the way. Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. How amazing is that? So again, just like he told the demon, don't say anything, he tells the leper who got healed, don't say anything. And it was because it's time for that to be completely revealed and not yet come. It was his time to go from village to village and teach and preach and prepare the soil. And if he was to get so bogged down at this point that he couldn't move from village to village, it just wasn't the time. But the time would come. And as we see, he's very clear. I like whenever it says in verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately, no delay. Immediately, no delay. You know, when we pray for the healing of someone, there's no delay. If Jesus has a different purpose for the illness or whatever it is that we're dealing with, we wouldn't want Jesus to go against his will, would we? But I can assure you that whatever is his will that we pray, and especially when we agree, two of us, he really does do He does answer those prayers. Take faith. No. Now, if it doesn't seem to be going the way we thought it was going to, again, we have to remember it's because he has a better plan. There's something else he's trying to accomplish. And it's going to be for the greater good of the greater work of faith and the greater number of people. It's so amazing to see. We read a story about a missionary who was, I think it was in an African area, and this little boy that had been ministered to by this missionary eventually did get leprosy, and they really felt like this little boy was a believer, and he really felt like God let him down by allowing him to get this leprosy, because it meant he was going to have to leave the missionary, not be able to help her anymore. He was going to have to move to a leprosy colony. Well, eventually, this missionary, after some years, was able to go hunt and search for this boy to see if he was still alive and where he was at. Eventually found out he was in this leprosy colony. And this little boy had been so heartbroken that this would happen to him, and he felt like it had just ruined his opportunity to be able to proclaim the gospel. But he felt really let down that he hadn't been healed. But whenever she did find him in this colony, she had found out that he had this amazing ministry there. And these lepers were coming to know Jesus because this boy, because he had gotten leprosy, became the missionary to this leprosy colony. He is good. And you see, it seemed like an unanswered prayer almost like a delay that God didn't do it right away or whatever. But, he did actually eventually give this little boy some healing in this process, and miraculously. But you see, he had something he wanted to do with him first. And the little boy, whenever he saw, the missionary, was like, oh, it's so amazing how God is using me here. I am so thankful that this happened to me, because many of these people are going to be in heaven now. You see, there was no one to go reach out to them, so God prepared somebody to go reach out to them. And you see, God can do that with us as well. Like, if God doesn't heal me and I have to go to a hospital somewhere of some problem that I may be having, it's not a lack of faith that would allow me to go to that hospital. In fact, God may take me to the hospital so that I can witness to my next door neighbor, or to the person who's caring for me, a nurse or a doctor or whatever. Who knows what God's doing? But we should just continue to pray in faith, because there's no delay in him doing his will in his time. And he will do it perfectly. Yes. Exactly. So he did tell him to do as he was commanded in the law of Moses as a testimony to them, right? So this was like a witness to the priests. So this guy did have to go back and say, look, I'm healed. Hey, wasn't he the one that went down there to be with Jesus? So now the priests know that there's something, that the kingdom of God is at hand, okay? Because this is exactly consistent with what the Old Testament had said in Isaiah the prophet. And so we see that he goes, and he's also being made restored, and that the priest would be able to say of him that he was clean to reenter society, as Brother Bill's saying. And so he's going to be able to be a witness in other ways. And then we look at verse 45, so it's really interesting. So he tells him not to say anything. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus, now look at this part, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. And do you see why he was saying don't tell anybody? Because it actually came to the point that because this guy did tell somebody, and he continued to tell more people, that it says he could not enter the city. Okay? And then it says, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. As word began to spread, They were crowding in on Jesus so much, he couldn't freely move anymore. And so in the process, you know, God uses all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? But what's interesting is that God's timing with things is very precise. I remember one time I was really hoping that during a certain period of time in our church's growth, that it seemed like we weren't growing numerically as I'd hoped, you know, because of people we were reaching out to, and some people were responding gladly, but they weren't really showing up and things of that nature. And it was becoming a little discouraging to me. And whenever I prayed about it, God said, you know, your church is not in a place where you can really fully disciple these people. And so God was wanting to grow us so that then we could grow. And that's what he wants us to be, is in a position where we can really one-on-one connect with people and disciple with people as they come in. And so that's why the growth of the core group is so important, the spiritual growth of those who are solid and more mature in the faith is so important for us to grow in the Lord, so that God then can send new people and we can be in a place that we can really help them to grow spiritually. And so we're still, I think, in that process as a church that God is growing us to be better disciple makers. And I truly, firmly believe that whenever we are in tune with the Spirit and we are walking with him, he will grow our church in other ways as well. But he just very point blank asked me, what would you do with them if I did send them? I mean, it's like having 20 people to bare bones make it through a VBS and God sends you 1,000 kids. What would you do with them? You know? We would be beside ourselves. We'd do our best. But, you know, we would much rather, if we're going to have 1,000 people, have a couple hundred or more volunteers, right? And we need to pray that God would grow us so then he can grow us. You know, but we got to grow in our relationship with Christ first. And so with anybody who's wanting to grow in Christ. So you can imagine how excited this guy was that Jesus had healed him. And all he wanted to do was go out and tell everybody about it. And I don't blame him. And it's, we are in the right time for that now. But at the same time, we got to keep maturing in the faith. That's what he wants us to do. And as we mature and reach out, or, you know, ask him to do more miracles through the prayers of his saints. It ain't so we'll get credit, but I love to hear people say, you know, I know you all were praying, and there, this miracle happened. Because, you see, they're attributing the miracle to the power of God. You know? And thankfully, none of us would have a heart that we would want to try to take the glory from God. So God can really get all the glory then, you know? And so continue to do what he calls us to do, because when we're doing what he calls us to do, he'll be doing what he does. And he still has the power to heal, to cleanse, to completely set free, even from demonic spirits. And he wants to do it through us. We are his hands and feet in this world now. And that's one of my, I guess, concerns about this whole time when we have seen this problem in our world of this virus. Is that in so many avenues, the church has either been shut down or disregarded. And I'm not just talking about the United States, I'm talking about worldwide. And if it is really a time of great emergency, the church is our greatest hope. And we want to keep that in mind. So don't let the church or the flock be scattered during these times. We need to stay connected. We need to stay praying. We need to stay going forward. And we should be doing God's will. And as we do, God will take care of the rest. He really does. Sister Sharon was sharing with me that they had, like on the local news. You can share it with everyone if you wouldn't mind. So I can see that maybe when we sing, we might have some saliva that goes out, and that may be a danger. I'm not going to dismantle that. But I would not think that going to the store was a want, because you're touching things that everybody else is touching. And I can tell you, one of the dirtiest things in the world is right here in my pocket. If you look at that little piece of green right there, there's more disease spread through that in more ways than one. Your PIN number? Yeah. So they got the shield up and all this stuff, but you still got to touch that and do all this. And all I'm saying is, you know, the gas pump, you pull up, you know. Yeah, there might be ways of doing different things, but I'm just going to say that I'll go ahead and take my chances with the church, because God called us to assemble. He called us to meet, and, you know, I don't offer my handshake to anybody anymore. If they want a handshake, they're going to have to offer to me to let me know that it's okay, and I'm not going to push myself on anybody, and I'll try not to sing on you. I know. Yeah, I'm not making fun of it, but I think that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of funny that stores shut down so early too, in a lot of places. Is it why? Clean. That's what I'm saying. They should stay open longer. But like for a 24-hour establishment, and to cut them back to 8:30 so that they can get everything cleaned up by 10, they used to be 24-hour. So I don't see how that flies either. I mean, I thought maybe it becomes more contagious after 8:30. I didn't know, but... yeah. Well... I just think that there's a lot of this reasoning that might be going a little overboard, and if we need anything right now, we definitely need the church to be together and praying in some way, shape, or form. And so I wouldn't call anybody to come to church that doesn't feel comfortable with it, but if the church is available and the church is open and people can make up their mind based on what they feel to be best, then they'll continue to do that. I just can't keep doing both. I can't be up there preaching and trying to run the cell phone to put it on Facebook Live. But we can Facebook Live and meet. We don't have to quit meeting to Facebook Live. So you see, it can actually do both. And so we can continue to go forward. And the reason why I'm even discussing this is the church has traditionally always continued to minister during the times of plagues and sicknesses and things of that nature. And in this one, it seems like the church became the most feared place, and dare I say as well, in many states and countries, one of the most attacked places as well. And in other countries, and I'm not just talking about the United States, like in Sri Lanka, they haven't even had that big of a spread of the virus at all, and they still had the church shut down as of last week. In Mexico, they still had some closures. In Thailand, up in the mountains, they still the least populated places, they still wouldn't let the church meet. And so I do believe that at least in some part, it is the spirit that's wanting to close down the churches. And so I believe the church didn't have to meet in one basic building in the first place, and even if they took away our building, we better not stop. In whatever way, shape, or form we can, where people feel emboldened and able and complete to do it, I think that there should be some availability to do it. Yes? Their windows rolled up, until the cops showed up and made them roll their window down. Yeah, so you go figure that one out. There went social distancing right there. Does Jesus have power over coronavirus? He absolutely does. And so let it be done according to your faith. Yeah. Just need to pray that we can continue to reach people. I can just tell you that most churches are not bothering to try to have a vacation Bible school this year that I've run into. And so according to our faith, let it be done. I think we can reach children right now. And I don't think children are in grave danger, even if they do get it. That's already been proven. So I think that it's a very good thing that we have the faith to have a vacation Bible school this year. So let's do that. Let's continue to reach out. And I can tell you, Jesus is bigger than coronavirus. And one of the reasons why I even bring it up is because where we leave off this time, that's where we're going to start on the next one. So if they effectively, everybody just went, okay, we'll close all the church doors and we'll open back up when you tell us it's okay, then that's where we're going to start on the next time that anything like this goes around. So we better be careful. You know, careful not to be spreading. So we had a parking lot service. And careful also not to quit meeting. Totally. So we just need to, find that place as God. And you know, the only way we can really do that is if all of us individually are seeking God's direction, because what he calls one to do is going to look a little different than what he calls another to do. And it isn't that one has more faith or the other has less faith. It means we should walk by faith. And as God has strengthened one to have the faith to go this way and strengthened another to have the faith to go this way, that's how we should go. I can tell you, it took a lot of faith for me to even try to go on Facebook Live and try to get something like that working, because that's an unusual thing too. Whenever you put anything on a public forum that's happening live, weird stuff happens. Well, you get weird comments, and also whenever things don't go as you would want them to, you can get weird complaints too. Or if the little transmitter don't work like you had hoped it would, you know, or if the sound system doesn't work out quite right. I mean, it's just really, it can be very unnerving trying to put all that together and still have a church service. I can tell you, I wasn't doing that because it was easier. I was doing that to accommodate everyone's needs, but to still be able to meet. And so that's what we just have to be creative, and we have to find different ways. But no. Sure. Yeah. I'll just admit it. We had a small group of people who did want to continue to meet, and I met with them. I broke the rules. But they weren't afraid, and they asked me, and they wanted to. And I felt like that they're consenting adults who can make decisions based on their lives. They're the same people that are going to the store. And there wasn't anything wrong with us getting together and meeting and have Bible study. Some of them were people I was seeing all week long, like Adam. I was up there helping Adam and Ben build Ben's house. When it came Friday night, we always get together for Bible study. It would have been foolish for us not to have Bible study. That would have been the only time that we weren't meeting. And that seemed like that would have been wrong for us to tell God, we'll meet for everything else, but we won't meet for the Bible study. We were already meeting. Our kids were together. Our families were together. So we continued to meet. I asked them how they felt. We moved on. You know? And so I think that's what we need to do. JD was still making emergency deliveries of gravel during that time. And now we're just continuing on. And that's what we need to do. Any prayer requests before we end in prayer? Jesus is bigger than coronavirus. He still is. Jesus is bigger than demonic powers. Jesus is bigger than every other foe or need that could come against us. Yes? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear God, we do pray, Lord, and go to your throne right now. And we pray that you would bless us to be able to reach this community for you. And Lord, you have been kind to us, and that you have kept us well as a church, as individuals in the church. And Lord, I just want to praise you. I want to praise you. I don't think that church was the only place that coronavirus was spreading through, because in New York, which was the hardest hit, New York City, I don't really think that the Christian church is the biggest meeting place there. So it was obviously being spread in other ways. But Lord, what I do pray is that through this, New York City would come to Christ. They have been dealt a heavy blow with the lives that they lost during that time. And Lord, I pray that you would heal the city and that you would bless the city to know the love of Christ. Thank you to Franklin Graham and the whole group of volunteer doctors took their mobile hospital to New York City and tried to help out during that time. And they were despised and rejected afterwards. They were told to leave because they wouldn't support gay marriage. Lord, I do pray that you would forgive those who made that proclamation, and that the work that they did there would be just like the healing of this leper. That it would as the people who were healed and treated through that time by any of those who were your people and your believers. They weren't the only volunteers there either. There were a lot of other people that went there to help. I pray that the message of salvation through Jesus Christ would spread like wildfire, a lot faster than any virus across New York City. And Lord, for all of the areas that have been hit hard by this virus, I pray that you would bless them, that the gospel would spread through them. Because I know whenever something really hard impacts a community or a city, it's a very fertile time for the proclamation of the gospel. So, Lord, I pray that churches that are in those areas would reach out. And we're going to pray for them. I pray for our little area of the world right here, Cadet, Missouri. Not a big metropolitan area by any means. There's a lot of souls here. Between Potosi and Blackwell and Cadet and all these areas in between, Lord, that families would be being brought to you, that children would be being brought to you, that our Vacation Bible School would be an outreach to these children. I pray for all the souls that are going to help out with it. I pray, Lord, that you would bless. And Lord, we can do it without fear, even though so many other churches are fearful to even think about having any kind of EBS. Lord, we believe in faith that you have led us to do this, and so I pray that you would bless these children through this. And Lord, whoever would come, even if it's just the children who belong to the, or who are part of the families of this church, let us minister to them and disciple them. And Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified through this. Please, Lord, I pray. Lift up all those who came tonight, and Lord, we thank you that we were able to meet tonight. And Lord, we missed this during that time that we were having limited services. But Lord, I pray that your church would continually seek your face. And Lord, that we would just obey your word and continue to go forward in faith. For all the people who were kind of reached through the internet broadcasts and Facebook Live and things of that nature, the church is still available to them. We still have audio presentations every week, and I pray that people would continue to tune in through our website and through all the different churches that are still broadcasting. And I pray that eventually they'll come and be plugged in so they can be discipled. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would help the church to do what you have planted us to do, make disciples of all nations. I pray for just an explosion of evangelism in all these countries where the church has really been oppressed during this time. And Lord, please, I pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming.